Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, everyone.
I'm Gordon Bombay, the new hockey coach.
All right, let's go! Learn me! Come on!
We're Team USA, gathered from all across America. And we're going to stick together. You know why?
Because we are ducks. And ducks fly together.
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Eastland. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
What's up, everyone?
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all. Was that the first clap intro?
Yes.
That we've had? All right.
Yeah. I want to, you know, switch it up. We're at episode 87, 88 right now. You got to try some different things. So, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling your friends. Not too much. I do want to give a shout out to Leah Burns, I believe. She donated money to us, which, like, I never ask anybody to do, but she asked if, like, how much we get from our shirts and stuff, and she just wanted to donate, so we appreciate it.
Huge shout out.
I mean, I do feel bad asking people to donate money, so you don't have to, but if you want to, there is a button on the website on the right side of the screen. It's the donate button, and then we'll use it to keep this going and make some more cool stuff, because there's lots
make some more cool shirts, so maybe you should just buy the shirts.
Exactly. Lots of cool shirts in the store.
Kevin, and pants.
And pants. Kevin's been doing a great job.
And there, you could also make the designs onto hoodies and stuff.
Yeah, there are all sorts of t-shirts, hoodies. We've got tri-blend shirts, cotton shirts, v-necks, men's, women's, babies. We got to get your babies, you know, inundated early as little quackalites. So
little quackalites. I like that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put one of those in the store.
Quack-a-lils? I don't know.
Quack-a-lils?
Quack-a-littles?
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like quack-a-light, like L-I-G-H-T.
Oh! Because they're light. Or L-I-T-E?
Yeah.
Light. I like it.
Like Miller Light, L-I-T-E.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. It works.
All right. Well, that's it for this week.
No, I just wanted to say, like, been 22 years, but we finally got some Air Bombay merchandise to hit the market.
Oh, yeah, for the kids who want to coach.
Exactly. So I was very excited about that, but enough kind of small talk here. Tommy, what is our topic today?
I'm very excited about this topic. As you all may recall, about 2 years ago, in our second ever podcast entitled Team Iceland, there was a prediction that has come true.
Who made that prediction, Tommy?
It was me.
Wow.
Okay.
Who could have seen that coming?
Let's just kind of listen to it first. Listen to the prediction, and then Tommy kind of set the scene for people about what is actually going on in the world.
Sure.
Very topical podcast today.
Very topical.
This was the golden era of Icelandic hockey.
Yeah.
They haven't been back since.
No.
That I haven't researched that.
I'm pretty sure they abandoned hockey and went to soccer.
Pretty sure they abandoned hockey and went to soccer.
I think you're stretching your quote-unquote prediction a little bit, but
we'll
bear with you.
It's more of like a Nostradamus thing.
Yes.
So that was about Team Iceland and about how the golden era of Iceland's hockey team and how they were essentially ruined by Wolf Dentist Hansen and this Junior Goodwill Games. And then basically all of Iceland went to soccer instead. And that was a few months before qualifying began for the European championships in soccer. And lo and behold, Iceland, which is now soccer crazed thanks to the aftermath of the Junior Goodwill Games, is in the quarterfinals after beating England and really just kind of putting the soccer world, you know, on its head.
Yeah. So Iceland plays France on Friday, I believe.
I think it's Sunday.
Sunday?
Same thing, pretty much.
Exactly.
Maybe it is Friday.
Who cares about days? Yeah, so basically, we are here to kind of give definitive proof that this Junior Goodwill Games loss has directly led to this Iceland soccer triumph. So, Iceland's got a population of just over 332,000.
Sunday is correct, by the way.
Okay, there you go. So, it's a little smaller than Santa Ana, California, a little bigger than Corpus Christi, Texas.
It would be look at a list of, like, United States, like, cities population?
Yes. It would be right in between them. It would be the 58th largest city in the U.S. So,
good thing those are, like, cities that people have heard of. You didn't have to, like, stretch and, like... Anywho, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, there were other notable cities below them, like St. Louis, for example. But so, obviously, population this small can only really focus on one sport at a time. Now, this Iceland team is all between the age of 21 and 37. And only 5 players on this Iceland team were 10 years old in 1994. 14 were 5 or younger. One was not even born yet. So, is that the right kind of age group for this team to flock from hockey to soccer? Is that kind of a right time?
I think absolutely.
I have a kind of a counter view.
Okay.
Pardon the no pun intended hot take here, but maybe this transition is completely weather related. Maybe this is a particularly warm era in Iceland. Therefore, there is not much ice on which to play hockey.
Now, the problem with that is Iceland had just this one golden era of hockey. And, you know, there's a lot of ice.
Well, maybe that was a cold era, and now it's warm again. But it just warmed up, so kids weren't playing hockey anymore.
But what about all the eras before this golden hockey era where hockey, it was still cold and it was not very successful?
Well, did they have any other like powerhouse things?
No, this is like the only time that, well, in soccer too. I mean, so are you saying that they like played soccer and then like there was like a frigid, like, you know, 10
Yeah, or they even played something other than soccer too. I don't know, basketball or something. I don't think they played basketball.
Probably not basketball.
But you know, maybe they're really into darts or billiards, and then they just decided to play hockey when it got really cold.
Well, wouldn't they be playing darts or billiards if it's cold as well? Because they're
indoors.
Yeah, but they didn't have as much ice before, and they're like, oh, all this ice is really cool. Maybe we should get some skates. And then they started playing hockey.
So you think they didn't get skates until like 84?
Maybe.
I respectfully disagree. Unless you're trying to make some like analogy to the Cold War or something.
I'm decidedly not trying to make an analogy to the Cold War. More maybe global warming, though.
Okay. So, I mean, I would agree with Tommy in disagreeing with Kevin here. I feel like...
Well, that's new.
I feel like Iceland had ice before. I don't think Iceland has ever been hurting for ice or ice rinks. But although it is interesting how much they don't play hockey, considering all their ice.
Now, but I thought Iceland was green and Greenland was ice.
They still have some ice. They're still way up north.
Not according to Iceland chick.
Maria, I don't think Maria was trying to give a whole like climate analysis to Gordon Bombay.
She should have been more clear then.
Okay, fair enough. I'll concede the point.
Did you hear that?
Concede the point? Congratulations.
Well done, Kevin. Well done. So how does this change work? Like, is this an immediate change, like right after Iceland loses?
I imagine the newspapers in Iceland like just tear like Wolf to shreds, and probably also the Icelandic Hockey Federation to shreds. It's like, how could you lose? Like, this was our golden era. This was our team. And they probably just like disband them. And it's just kind of like it was a fluke, whatever. This was we need to, you know, do a 180 here. So I think it was like, we're like ending all hockey in this country right now because of this.
In that vein, do you think there's like just like a dilapidated old like hockey rink where all like the the like rough youth hangout now. Like, you know, chains on the doors that are busted. Kind of like...
do you think there's like an old statue of...
Like the Superdome in Detroit.
There's an old statue of Wolf that's like torn down. Oh. And it's like on its side.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense because, as we mentioned in episode 2, where that original Tommy clip came from, it was a very risky decision to put this menacing Wolf the Dentist Stanson as a youth hockey coach after what he did in the NHL. So that makes sense that the papers would get to him. So how much did, like, just the sea change go to soccer? Why soccer? Why pick soccer? And, yeah, just how did it all happen?
I have a quick question before that. How long is this era? Like, how long are they dominant?
In hockey?
Yeah. That's it long enough to erect a Wolf Stanson statue? I mean,
well, he was like one of their first NHLers or something, right?
Yeah, there's been no other NHLers.
I'd say maybe you could argue that Wolf goes into the NHL and that's when it starts, or maybe like when he's like going through the ranks and everyone starts paying attention to hockey and he finally gets it. They build the statue and everything, and then even when he gets kicked out, maybe the papers are still like, oh, you know, this was, you know, not his fault, whatever, and they're kind of blind to it, and then they finally see it at the Goodwill game. So maybe this was like the stance of like it grows over the stance of like 15 years. So like every kid born, like there's probably a bunch of kids named Wolf or something.
Oh yeah.
So
or named Dentist.
There's probably a lot of dentists in Iceland because of it. But I think it was probably like a long time coming. Like, so I bet you this team like dominated like at the U7, U8 level. And then like they finally eyed those like 92 or 93 Goodwill games. Like, yeah, that's our year, with like another eye on like the 2002 Winter Games or something as being their prize.
Yeah, it was like one real generation of kids, I think,
yeah,
that caused this rise. And then they go down, and then those kids, what happens to them? Do they just kind of wash out and still play hockey, or are they the foundation for this team we're seeing now at the Euros?
I think they're the foundation because they're probably like banned from ever playing hockey again.
Yeah, but that's pretty late, wouldn't you say, in the game? I mean, I guess, yeah, they kind of start that transition.
Yeah,
like, none of them were elite level, because that's pretty late in the game to, I mean, for any sport, really.
And so what I think happens is like, because you have, you know, probably thousands of kids playing like, or the 1,000 kids in Iceland who are playing like youth hockey, and then they just have to stop it. And so they switch to soccer, and it's very gradual. Like, so this is like, they finally like rose up for this tournament.
I have another, I don't know if this is considered a hot take or not, but another contributing factor could have been maybe a sharp economic downturn.
Oh.
Hockey is an expensive sport.
Correct.
Soccer is not.
Yeah.
So maybe that contributed to it. You know, the country took a downturn. Mike will research this and put it in the show notes.
I don't think it would have, though, in the, like, 90s.
Who knows?
Mike will know.
Who knows? There's no way to look that up.
No. At least not right now while we're recording it. So it's a valid point. Like, could happen.
You could argue that, like, the economy of Iceland crashed after that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Oh, after the game, like, after it the game, caused
yeah.
the crash?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I think so. And then they kind of like, you know, they ban hockey, and then it's like, well, we still want to.
There's like
play something.
Looting in the streets.
Yeah. And so
everybody cashes in their 401ks or whatever they're called in Iceland.
Yeah. And so then, you know, obviously you've got all these kids, and they just switch to soccer. And wow. And I think some of it is like out of like, what's the exact opposite of hockey? It's like, oh, we got to go play like a hot sport or something like that. That's you know, cheap or whatever, and you know, people in North America aren't that great except for Mexico, which is not good at hockey, so it makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I think soccer is the natural sport to go to, just about where Iceland is in the world and the popularity of the countries near it. So that makes sense. A little butterfly effect going on with this Iceland hockey team. So we look at this current team, and my probably favorite fact is that one of their co-managers Heimer Hallgrimsson is a dentist.
Wow.
Heimer the dentist Hallgrimsson. How much do you think he is aware of his brethren in Wolf the Dentist dancing?
I'm sure he's met him before.
Like, it's got to come up, though, right?
Oh, for sure. How old is this coach?
I don't know.
Right. Wait, now. The soccer coach now?
The one soccer coach soccer now coaches. Is the, oh. A dentist and is like.
So he maybe he was like 19 or something when this golden age, and so he went into dentistry school, and so became a dentist, and then also they had this huge shift. He's like, well, what can I do as well? So he also, you know, coaches soccer on the side. And so
that
I think
that's pretty legit to me.
Confirms it.
So we have this team that made the switch. They've grown from this Junior Goodwill Games loss into this soccer team that is shocking the world, kind of a golden age of Icelandic soccer now. How much is this Junior Goodwill Games kind of collapse remembered? How much is it talked about? What kind of lessons can this Iceland team take from that?
Well, I keep trying to draw like parallels between. It's tough to say that the Ducks in the Goodwill Games would be like the underdog, even though they kind of were painted that way, and Iceland as like the giant. And now Iceland is like the scrappy underdog.
Iceland's so, the Ducks of
They're the Ducks of the soccer world right now. Well, which doesn't make any sense when you really break it down, but
I think it does.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. What was the question? I forgot.
Just how much is this kind of Junior Goodwill Games collapse and what happened when Iceland lost remembered during this golden age of Iceland soccer now?
I think they, very early on, they kind of like don't talk about it at all in terms of like everyone knows that this terrible thing happened and they're, and if you mention hockey, you're like whipped at town square or something like that. But then later on, as they start to play soccer, they say, you know, we could really do something here and then we have to learn from our mistakes. Yeah, so they like make exactly. them watch everything and kind of get them to be like, we have to be good at soccer now to like regain our countries, you know,
and we can't fall stance. Into that like overconfident trap and
exactly
that kind of thing.
And perhaps they even see like the Ducks and say, you know, we could be them. You know, we were just one some stupid number back in the day. We were the little team that only had like 11 people on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine them idolizing, you know, like. Russ Tyler or something, and him being like a huge celebrity in Iceland, you know, inspiring, you know, this generation, because they didn't really have like athletes to look up to, because they had the dentist and that's it, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And so even though those are hockey players and it was banned, they kind of like switched. It's like we can look up to that team because they embodied what we want to be,
being the Ducks.
Yeah.
So do you think they have their own like soccer version of the Flying V?
They probably have, yeah, it's probably called, maybe they call it the Flying V as well, as in Viking.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
And maybe they call themselves like the Flying V, because, you know, like the teams will call themselves whatever the, you know. Yeah. What does England call themselves? Like the Three Dragons or Three Lions, sorry.
Or Australia's the Socceroos.
Yeah, Socceroos.
Yeah.
What's the United States?
Team USA.
USMNT.
Yeah. We're not very inventive, are we?
No. We're kind of boring, actually. Maybe that's why we don't win in soccer as much.
Yeah.
We should get Jürgen on.
Jürgen Klinsmann, head coach of the U.S. men's national team.
Shout out to Jürg. Yeah.
He probably doesn't have much going on right now.
Open invite for Jürg. He could be fired, right, Tommy?
No, he won't be fired.
Okay.
They did well enough at the Copa America that... He'll keep his job through this cycle. Unless they don't qualify.
Let's get Landon Donovan on. He's not doing anything. Yeah,
there we go. That's someone that's gettable, almost. Kind of. All right, back to Iceland. Kind of the reverse of the last Iceland question I asked. How does Gunnar Stahl, Olaf Sanderson, Uber Havik, how are they looking at this run? Is it like they're happy because they set the foundation? Or is it kind of like what could have been in the hockey arena for these teams?
I think it's pretty depressing for him. I mean, I think having been so disgraced, they've maybe lost a lot of, like they don't feel good for these guys. Like, they were disgraced by their own country, so, or by their own countrymen, or whatever you want to call them. So I think there's a lot of, not ill will, but resentment, maybe.
So you think that, like, everyone in Iceland, they turn their backs on.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah.
And them resenting that. I could see, though, them maybe coming around, and then, like, a very Disney-esque moment where, like, Gunnar Stahl is introduced, like, at halftime of an Iceland soccer game, and he gets, like, a standing ovation.
That definitely would happen.
Yeah.
And he's, like, half drunk. He pulls a Broadway Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Namath. Yeah. So, is there any sense of, I mean, before this turnaround.
Shout out to Joe Namath, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Joe.
Open invitation to him. He's probably gettable at this point.
Who knows? Yeah, Joe, thequarkarchitect.com. Anyway, before this heartfelt sort of reunion where Gunnar Stahl shows up drunk at the halftime, is there any sense of, like, just Icelandic pride, even though they did turn on him? The public turned on him. Is there any sense of just country pride, Icelandic pride, that kind of stuff?
This is kind of similar, not really, but you know the famous chess player Bobby Fischer? He, like, went to go live in Iceland because they don't have, like, extradition or whatever, mm-hmm. and he, like, totally, like, renounced, like, U.S. or whatever. I can imagine maybe all of them, like, going, like, I'm going to, you know, I'm renouncing my Icelandic citizenship or something like that. Maybe not Gunnar Stahl, but maybe that's what, like, Sanderson did or mm-hmm. Uber Havik, because Uber Havik, you don't think, oh, that's Icelandic name. Sanderson was like, definitely Scandinavian. So maybe he like went to like Croatia or something to live out his days and just renounce everything Iceland.
Gotcha. What? And I'm like envisioning a scenario where like Uber Havik is like drunk in a pub wherever he is, and then this game happens to be on, and like he all of a sudden he sees Gunnar mm-hmm. out there. And it's like, oh, man. And that, like, rekindles kind of some of his spirit.
So do you think he, like puts his beer down, like, walks outside and, like, sobers up and...
No. Absolutely not.
So he still drinks, but then...
Maybe, like, downs a few more and
yeah.
then...
Oh. But he, like, then he, like, goes to his, like, closet in his apartment and, like...
Pulls out the old jersey. Oh, yeah.
Dusts it off. Tear comes to his eye.
Gives it to his grandson.
Yeah.
And a hockey stick. And then you start the new era.
Yeah, so it's really cyclical. You can only have soccer or hockey.
Well,
so
yeah.
I imagine Iceland hockey will be pretty good in about 25 years.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we can harken back to this podcast in 25 years to see if Tommy was correct.
Yeah.
Well, currently I'm batting 1,000, so
yes.
On my Icelandic predictions.
Yeah, so...
Quote-unquote predictions.
With June 29th, 2031, we'll be back... Maybe
mark your calendars
to see if Tommy was right or not. All right, Kevin.
That's 15 years. I said 25.
Oh, yeah. 2041. Even better.
We'll be all in our flying cars. Well, this podcast will be coming live via hologram or something.
Yeah, we'll be in your.
This will be in the living room. The National Registry or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, do you have the quack question for us?
I do, and I probably should have prepared a little bit more.
Or at all.
All right, this one's a little lengthy, so I'm going to pare it down a little bit. This one comes from very new, but very...
vocal.
Very vocal and very active quackalite, at Barbell Winnie. Her question is...
And did this come via Twitter?
No, this came via email, I would imagine, because of the length of it.
Yes.
So her question is, were Bombay and Casey ever in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship? And I'll go ahead and read some of the kind of backstory for this. I'm just not sure why most Mighty Ducks fans think they ever were. Maybe when we were kids, we thought that when a man and a woman kiss, they must be boyfriend and girlfriend or married. However, when we get older, we realize that things aren't that simple. Bombay and Casey only went on one date. Casey raised some concerns. Instead of resolving those concerns on the first date, they kissed anyway. Then Bombay had to relocate for his minor league hockey, and then they had a goodbye kiss. Was that even a relationship? All we know was that there was one date. And I'll leave it at that. There's more, but we'll leave it at that.
I like this question because it's kind of counterintuitive. I think we all kind of just assume, you know, oh, there's like something going on. But it is possible to see that like maybe Casey like just wanted to, you know, she wasn't looking for anything super serious.
Yeah, it's like they were each other's slam pieces.
Exactly.
Like and Casey specifically, whenever Bombay was like back in town, like on a break or something from hockey, you know, he had his in town booty.
Yeah. Now
is that why we don't see her in D2? Because she's like hiding from Bombay. Like,
I don't. Well, I mean, there. Well, maybe. I mean.
Or like, I don't want him calling me. Like,
I mean, maybe she was unable to make it. Was she at the Goodwill Games?
She was not.
Yeah, maybe she was unable to make it for whatever reason. She was in Europe on business.
Yeah,
important diner business.
Now, Bombay at the beginning ish of D2 says, "Oh, I should have stayed in touch more," and I believe is it Jan? Say, like, Casey remarried or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, that might be, a reason that she doesn't kind of respond to Bombay when...
Yeah, like, she started dating somebody when he was playing hockey or whatever, and then it kind of just fizzled out.
So, how
I do definitely think they were boning, though.
Yeah. And now,
I like that very succinct agreement.
What is just Bombay's view of the situation? Did he think it was more serious?
Well, remember he says they're like looking at the castle or something. He's like, oh, when I was a kid, we used to like think we lived there and pretend which rooms. And Bombay's like, oh, what about me? I want to live there too, which is kind of forward.
I think he was just looking for some free lodging.
He actually wanted to live in the ice.
So maybe Bombay really was... Because, you know, he kind of turned around his life with, like, coaching the kids, wasn't drinking, whatever. Because I think we've talked about how, you know, he's definitely a player. And while he was a lawyer, he probably, you know, played it fast and loose with women. So maybe he was like, oh, I want to, you know, settle down with a nice woman.
See, and maybe it was that. And then he realized he didn't want to do that. So he kind of just, like, went back to what he used to do. Because he kind of did.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the minor league hockey circuit.
Yeah, I mean, the girls are falling all over you.
Yeah, this minor league mini haha wave groupies. So, let's just answer the question: like, were they in a relationship?
No, not like a boyfriend girlfriend defined.
Had there been Facebook back then, it would not have been Facebook official.
They would have been texting, booty calling all the time, booty texting.
But like Bombay's Facebook would have said just nothing, like no in a relationship.
Yeah.
Uh huh. But it was still early. Did they see? Like, did they see this initially, like, turning into a relationship? Or after that first date, was it just, like, slam piece territory?
I think maybe they wanted it to, but then they realized that probably just couldn't work. And then they just... And then they were like, all right, we shouldn't see each other. But then, like, you know, they still wanted to bone. So they boned. Because they're humans.
Yeah. Now, I guess so. The kiss at the bus stop, I think, throws a wrench into this whole situation because you say, okay, that was one date, and then, you know, they did whatever they want. But it seemed like they had something there, like, at the bus stop. So does that kind of change your views at all?
Well, one thing also, that's, like, in front of all the kids, too. And so, like, if they weren't dating or something, I can imagine all the kids being like, well, you know, Charlie, your mom's, you know, a bit of a whore. So.
Wait, is that an answer to the question?
Well, so I think maybe they were like more.
That was like just a statement of odd factor.
No, so.
Woo! All right.
Yeah, so I think maybe they did actually have something because, like, I don't think she gives them that kiss if it wasn't just like slam. I think it was like building into something, and they wanted to keep it going. Like, they had planned to, like, you know, long distance dating, and it just didn't work out that way.
Or was that just a...
I don't think that was like a goodbye, like, later.
Yeah.
That's not... You don't do that, like, in front of your kids and all his friends, like, kissing this dude.
Well, I think... Was she, like, putting on, like, a face for the kids, though? Just, like, see, like, a relationship should be here. You know, this is what, like...
Yeah, what, yeah.
What normal people do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Was she putting on a face for that, or was that, like, a sign that they were actually, like, looking for a relationship?
And also, at that point, too, it could have been, like, she wanted a relationship, but he didn't because he was going away. Or, you know, so maybe she's, like, trying to put that on, that kind of out there. Like,
I think maybe, like, maybe she initiated the kiss, and he's, like, he actually went in for, like, the hug.
He's, but like,
because if he had, like, snubbed her right there, like, her heart would have been broken.
That would have been a dick.
And then all the kids would have been like, oh, my God, Bombay just snubbed your mom. Yeah. What's wrong with her? And so maybe, or maybe it was just kind of like a, something, you know, just having some fun on the side the entire time.
All right. Well.
But we also, I should mention that, you know, Casey, I think she was very tentative to get into it, very hesitant to get in a relationship with Bombay.
That's a good point. Because
Charlie liked him so much. And so he seems like the perfect kind of guy. Like, oh, my son loves him. You know, this would be great. But then, you know, something bad happens in either of one of them. Like, it ends the other relationship. So maybe she's like, I can't date this guy because my son loves him so much. So maybe it was just like, we'll just, you know, fuck on the side. Just
smash.
Yeah.
It's a good note to go out on. For us, thequackdeck.com. Go there. You can contact us. There's the shop there. There's a link to the shop, which is thequackdeck.threadless.com. If you want to just go there directly.
Shirts and pants.
Shirts and baby pants clothes. And pants and shirts and baby clothes and sweatshirts.
And hoodies.
And hoodies.
Baseball tees.
And we'll have some more designs soon.
All kinds of stuff. There's lots of designs in the store. Apparently more are coming soon, according to Tommy. So looking forward to seeing that out of you, Kevin. Twitter at QuackDeckPod. Facebook.com/QuackDeckPod. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us your favorite player from that Iceland national hockey team in 1994 and its current national soccer team right now. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack.